The scripture reading is 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Amen.
사랑하는 성도 여러분, 전 세계 및 전국의 구천역의 지교회 성도 여러분, 지성전 성도 여러분,
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and GCN and Mamin TV viewing audiences, let us give all thanks and glory to God the Father who has blessed us to have this 2011 Young Adults Devotional Service. I also give thanks to all the devotees who have prepared for this service with all your hearts, minds, and souls. Dear devotees, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gave us a parable to explain about the kingdom of heaven. A certain king held a wedding feast for his son and invited many people. How honorable is it just being invited to a feast given by a king? But they paid no attention and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized the king's slaves who came to invite them and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged and he destroyed those murderers. Then he told his servants to go out into the streets and bring people both good and evil. Now the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. He said in Matthew 22:12, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. If you are attending a party or something, you have the dress code. Since they had been invited to an honorable place, they were supposed to be in wedding clothes if they honored the king. Knowing this fact, this person came without wedding clothes, so the man was speechless. He was finally thrown out of the feast. At the end of the parable, Jesus concludes as follows. Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many people are called, invited, but few are chosen. Those who are not chosen, it means there are many, but those who are not chosen. We are all invited to the heavenly feast given by God the Father. Many people turn down the invitation to the heavenly feast because they are busy with worldly things. They refuse the gospel, following money and fame, and sometimes they persecuted and killed the evangelists. When we come to this place of salvation, even if you invite your family members, some of them, they don't come here. They refuse to come because they love the world. Your husbands, your children, they want to drink. They like drinking better. They like worldly entertainment better. So they are drunk with the worldly things and they refuse the invitation to salvation. But rather, they sometimes persecute the preachers, evangelists. They follow money and fame and sometimes they persecuted and killed the evangelists. But you accepted the invitation of God and you are waiting for the heavenly banquet that will be held soon. What we have to remember once again is that we cannot participate in the feasts of God without wearing wedding clothes. You come here when you attend church, when you go to church on Sundays, you wear the most, you wear the suit and most official clothes, outfit. You don't just wear just some kind of a sports jacket or anything like that to come to church, because who are you coming before? You come before God to worship Him. And you cannot just wear any casual clothes to worship God. It doesn't make sense. Even though you are invited and you long for this feast, you will eventually be thrown out without having the wedding clothes. That is why today's reading passage also is recorded as follows. 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 says, "And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Just as He is pure. Jesus has no blemish, no spot, no blames, and He is perfect and holy. And just as He is pure, everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself. Because our Lord is pure, our Father is pure, the bride, the children of God, must also be pure. And you should be thankful that you are here in this church. You are becoming more and more pure and holy and more increasingly resemble the Father God, because you don't belong to this world. And I always teach you so, you always, even though I teach you something like this, you always love me. You don't say, "Oh, senior pastor always talks about that. We can just attend church." In all other churches, they all do that. None of you here is saying such a thing. Then you might even fall down there. We have to go up. And it is not my word. It is the word of God. It means you have to purify yourself. If you long for the second coming of the Lord and heavenly kingdom. Do you have this hope fixed on the Lord? Through this message, I hope you will realize what kind of life you have to live on this earth as those who have this hope fixed on Him. You should not just hear and know it as knowledge, but realize deep in your heart what you have to do and keep it in the depths of your mind. I pray in the name of the Lord that in doing so, you will have increasing hope for the heavenly kingdom. Dear devotees, those who have this hope fixed on the Lord, first of all, purify themselves. Just the devotees, please repeat after me. Those who have this hope fixed on the Lord, first, purify themselves. Secondly, I'll continue. To purify yourself, you have to check your heart, thoughts, and actions with the Word of God, which is the truth. You should check to what extent you have cultivated the image of God and change what is not in accordance with the truth. You have heard so many times that you have to check yourself and change yourself with the truth. You have heard so much about what you have to do keep and cast away, what you have to cultivate in heart, and what goodness and truth are. If you have obeyed what you heard, you must have cultivated pure and holy hearts and become holy men of spirit. But no matter how much you've heard, it is of no use unless you cultivate it in your heart. As I said in the morning service, if you've been a Christian for 20, 30 years, even though you're born into a Christian family, unless you cultivate spirit in you, you cannot really call God. You cannot even see the face of the Lord. You cannot even see the face of our God the Father forever. And how sorrowful it is, actually. You can't even see the face of the Father God. You can't even see the face of the Lord. Even though you are not in hell, you can't see His face forever. How sad it is. And I feel terrible just thinking about it. You go to heaven, but you can't even see the Father. You can't even see the Lord, our bridegroom, forever. Now, how can you live like that? Of course, it's much better, much happier and than on this earth, but you miss Him. You have to see Him, your Father and your bridegroom. If you follow the worldly pleasures, pursuing what your eyes and mind seek, then you will think and act in the things that are opposite of the truth. You will do the things that God hates. Now, I hope you will stop living this kind of life and just follow the truth. I hope you will try your best in your Christian lives, thinking about how you should make your heart, deeds, and lips holy, and how you can please God. In order to do this, truth has to be cultivated in your heart completely. Not just in your head. It should also be in your head, but it has to be cultivated in your heart completely. In other words, you must have the ability to listen to the word and understand it properly, and not judge or discern it according to your own thoughts. You say amen very well to this kind of thing, but it's not something easy. After I deliver the messages, I see the church members, and many times they say, "Oh, you said this on Sunday," but I've never said that. I didn't say it that way. But they say, "Oh, senior pastor, you said it this way." I'm not saying they're wrong, but it is not what I meant. So they understand it in a wrong way. They misunderstand it. They don't understand it correctly. And that happens so many times. You must not judge or discern it according to your own thoughts. Those who give irrelevant answers, they begin to judge within their own thoughts. Even this morning, when the church members do that, the workers, when I ask the questions to the church members, the workers next to me, they see it. The church members, they should give me the answer. Of course, I'm a senior, so they should give me the straight answer to my question. But in most cases, I say only one third of my question, but they interrupt and they just say it. They just speak. And they already judge it according to their own thoughts. They don't even listen to my word, my sentence. But suppose, like, as if they got this, they already know what I'm going to talk about. They just explain and everything. And while it is not, it is completely off. It is completely wrong. Isn't it true with you? In fact, out of 100, maybe just one or two among 100. I've been teaching you, preaching, and for such a long time, but even this kind of thing cannot be corrected. You just give irrelevant answers. I'm serious. Just one or two out of 100. Otherwise, all the others, they give wrong answers, irrelevant answers. Sometimes even those who are in spirit, they give irrelevant answers. But I don't think if you are in the whole spirit, you will not give irrelevant answers. But I think if you are in the spirit, sometimes you give irrelevant answers. And because they don't listen until the end. They don't keep it in mind. And they are in a hurry. And they just pass the judgment and they speak on their own. So it's not right. So you must have the ability to listen to the word and understand it properly. And you have to try to understand it properly. If you just pass judgment, then you cannot understand the rest. And you misunderstand. Because you don't understand, you have a misunderstanding. Suppose in an argument or a quarrel, just listen to them. They don't listen to the other person until the end. They just keep on saying whatever they want to say. They don't listen to the other person. They don't want to understand the other person. They have to listen to the end. And in most cases, they don't. That's why they have argument, quarrels, and in a serious case, even a fight. This way they break peace. In a department, there was a question in a letter. You don't have to, please don't send me those questions. How can I answer all of your questions? When can I answer? You have your parish pastors and your guidance pastors. I'm not here to, how can I do the great things of God if I am here to answer all your questions? So when I read such a letter, once there was a letter from a certain group. My director is giving me these orders, and I think they are not right. I think we have to do it this way. But if I explain it this way to the director, he just rejects it, and he's just telling me to do whatever he is telling me to do. And in his viewpoint, there's a lot of disadvantage to the members, and so I don't write back. So I saw that person on the street when I was in the car, so I explained to him. Even the church has an order. Any society, any organization, there is an order, and it must not be broken. Even the spiritual realm, the order must not be broken. If you have a director, even though your ideas are not agreeing with each other, you can talk about it. Wouldn't it be better to do it this way? You can talk about it with that person, but if he just tells you to do something else, then you have to obey it. So the order can be kept, and the hierarchy, the organization, can be operational. And thankfully, he obeyed immediately. And next week, said, as you said, senior pastor, I just obeyed and he said peace. Before he was complaining and he had discomfort and he didn't like that person. And now he's at peace. His mind is at peace. And he's so happy. He just denied himself and he just obeyed his director. So not just himself, but everybody in his department is having peace. So when one person denies himself and obeys, there was peace. Because people have different opinions, they will have different opinions. So because opinions are different, they can talk about it. But if finally the director gives the command, you have to obey it, like in the army. Only because you have a different opinion, the commander is telling you to retreat, and if you just go on fighting because you are confident you can win, then you will finally be shot to death in a battle. If you disobey in a battlefield, you can just be executed right away because you disobeyed the direct command. So you must be able to listen to the word and understand it properly. And when you listen to the message, you must never pass judgment. There are many judgments when you listen to the messages. So, for example, when new believers, your husbands, those who are not in the third level of faith, those who are in the first and second levels of faith, they pass a lot of judgments on the messages. When there is a message about it, oh, they say, oh, this is right, that is wrong, this is right. What they do first is judge. They don't even listen to the end of the sermon. They just pass judgments during the messages. So can they understand anything properly? Can they receive the work of the Holy Spirit? They just have their own opinions. If that's the case, I have to preach whatever they think is right. And they even pass judgment on the Word of God. That is why, even though they attend church for a long time, they cannot have faith. Their soul cannot prosper. Because they are passing judgment on the Word of God. They are not judging the Word I'm preaching. They are judging the Word of God that is preached. So I'm talking about new believers in this case. But if you are in this late stage of second level or the third level of faith, you don't pass judgment. You are ready to accept it with amen. So you must never judge the Word of God. You have to listen to the end. You have to try to understand it. And if you just pass judgment because it doesn't agree with your thoughts, that's why you cannot understand it. For example, one of your colleagues suggests you skip the prayer and go to see a movie with her. This is not Sabbath. This is not Lord's Day. On a weekday, your colleague says, oh, just skip the prayer today and let's go see a movie together. We have such a good movie today. I'm treating you to this movie. Then you have some desire to see the movie, but you also feel uncomfortable about skipping your time of prayer. In this situation, some try to justify themselves. They make an excuse saying they can't help it, while indeed they have the desire to skip prayer. You say, if I turn down her suggestions all the time, she would be embarrassed. I have to be a good friend so I can evangelize her later. It's not really a big deal to skip the prayer one day. I'll pray harder tomorrow. You justify yourself this way and cheat yourself. And there are many things of this kind. It means you are compromising. You're compromising with a friend. You compromise because you had the desire to watch the movie. If you just love God and if you didn't have any desire to see a movie, you won't even think about compromising. Or you have some jealousy towards a certain person and you are cold to her, but you don't acknowledge your evilness. You justify yourself saying, I don't want to be cold-hearted toward her, but I can't help it, because she is never first to realize her wrongdoing. Or you say like, oh, I'm trying to greet her, but she turns her face away first. So you justify yourself this way. As above, you must not distort the truth as you see fit and according to your thoughts. You must have the standard that is the Word of God and use it to reflect upon yourself correctly. Next, in order to purify yourself, you must practice what you have heard and been made clear to you. If you heard a word, you have to realize, you have to gain realization. And if you realize something, you have to practice it. If you don't practice, it is of no use. That is why it takes such a long time, because you don't practice. Or you don't take so much time. So next, in order to purify yourself, you must practice what you have heard and been made clear to you. Faith without the deeds is dead faith. No matter how long you've been a Christian, you have dead faith. So how can you revive somebody? No matter how much truth you heard and know, you have no faith if you do not practice it. You think you might have faith, you know everything, but in God's sight, He might say you don't have any faith. No matter how much truth you heard and know, you have no faith if you do not practice it. But by knowing a lot of truth, many of you mistakenly believe that you have great faith and you live in the truth. How is it with you? If God says cast away, you must cast away. If God says don't do that, you must not do it. If God says do it, you must do it. Only when you practice, if you obey, keep on obeying this way, even though you are in the second level of spirit, 1 year will be enough for you to go into spirit, even though you are in the second level of faith right now. Because it doesn't take so long to go into spirit, to go into third level of faith. Because you can just stop doing the things. And in the third level, it's not easy to cast off all the things of the flesh, but 1 year will be enough. Because you have spent a lot of some time in the first and second levels of faith, and in 1 year you can go into spirit. That is why I say it is easy. It is easy to go into spirit. It doesn't take so much time. And why does it take 15, 20 years, 30 years? Only when you practice the word can that word change your life. Not just your life, your families, your workplaces, your business fields, everything will change. And it's going to be so easy to receive blessings. Just ask the workers around me, Elder Edward Lee or Elder Jung Soo Choi, they know what I'm saying. What if I do? Even the worldly work, I just do everything. If I can make, if I want to make money, it is all in my hands. It's easy. I can do anything. If you're going to spirit, you can do it. If you're in the spirit, you'll receive the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if you are in deeper level, and you can also communicate with God, and so the impossible will become possible, and the possible will become even better. So it is easy. I'm not just saying it with words. I experienced a lot of things. I tried in many different angles in many ways, various ways. And it's easy. It's like our pray. It's like my pray. So I wanted to teach some of the church members to let them receive blessings. But if they are not in the spirit, it doesn't work. Because they can obey only when they are in spirit, without having their own ideas. They have to say amen and just obey it. But it's not easy if they are in the flesh. If you just keep on hearing the truth and storing it as knowledge over a long time in your Christian life, you will not bear any fruit in your life, like the fig tree without any fruit. Some of you must be mourning over your own lives because they are not bearing any fruit. Perhaps you feel sorry, thinking, I've been a believer for a long time, so I must have gone into spirit. I should receive blessings at home and work to give glory to God. But I have not borne any fruit before the Father. The young adults mission, they didn't go to college. So just put your focus on going into spirit. You don't study in the college, so you just try your best in going into spirit in just a couple of years. Then it's much better than graduating from a college. You can become rich much more. If you just graduate from a good college and receive $2,000 salary, rather than that, if you go into spirit, that kind of thing wouldn't match. Even so, do not be disheartened, but start from this moment once again. It is not difficult because you have now listened to many messages. You can just check whatever disobedience you had and just begin to obey. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I hope you will cast off all your desires and thoughts and be able to profess the same. You should be able to boldly profess that only the Christ lives in you, and there is only the will of God and not your own will in your heart. I hope all you young adults will expend all your efforts to obey completely and purify yourselves. Dear devotees and other members, those who have this hope fixed on the Lord, secondly, must live with the Lord always. For those who live with the Lord, everything will be orderly and holy in their lives. God is watching all your actions 24 hours a day, even the moving of your eyes in their sockets. I socially believe that God is always watching me. For this reason, there is no difference in my mindset and appearances between when I'm in public and by myself. Even when I go to bed, I comb my hair and make myself neat. It's because I want to appear lovely in the sight of God the Father. Nobody is watching, and I'm alone by myself in my room, and what kind of hair I have, what kind of clothes I wear, it doesn't matter if you think this way. Then it means you are ignoring God. God is watching you all the time. Then it means you don't believe the word of the Bible, that God is watching you all the time. And you don't really believe that angels are watching you all the time. And you have a guardian angel. And there is an angel who is recording all your deeds and all your words. It is the same as not believing it, that there is such an angel. Or if you say, oh, how can I do all those things one by one? And how can I live? So like that, it will be so uncomfortable. But it's not true. Just think about it. the other way around is true, actually. Just you get up and you go outside a door, you open the door and you close it. In winter, so in summer, you have the air conditioner on, so you have to close the door. In winter, you have to close the door, so the cold air will not come in. But those who are not, those who don't do that, they just open the door and they don't check whether it's closed or not. They just kick it behind. And also, they don't put the things in the right place. They put things here and there, everywhere, so you have to look for something that you want to use. Sometimes you use your cell phone and just put it, you have a place to put the cell phone, but you put it anywhere and you don't know where you've put it. So you are looking for your cell phone. So rather than having disorderly life, if you have an orderly life, it is much more comfortable. After you get up, you have to fold your blankets, not just like, but you can make it neat, you know, perfect rectangle. And if you just roll it up and just leave it like that, oh, I'll sleep anyway in the evening. So if you just put it like that, then if you have that kind of mindset, it will not make you mature. And it is all obstacles in going into spirit. When God sees you anytime, you should appear lovely in the sight of God anytime. He must be feel like, oh, my son, this daughter is so lovely. He's not just clean when in public, but if he is by himself, he's untidy. You know, you shouldn't live like that. Then in God's sight, it's kind of a cheating, you know, it's not truthful. You appear nice in public, but when God is watching you, you are not really, you don't appear nice. Even when I'm alone, I know angels are watching me, so I always behave myself. Even though they're not watching me, I will behave myself. Many people pray that the Lord be with them and keep them with His blazing eyes. And they pray this way. And they pray that the Lord will watch them with blazing eyes and Lord be with them all the time. And how can they act that way? And it means their prayer is a prayer of unbelief. They pray without faith. If they really believe that prayer, they cannot act that way. If they really pray so with truthful hearts, their lives will change. If the Lord is with them, would they still make jokes and talk about other people's faults while passing judgment? They can't. So they wouldn't speak any useless words, any lies. They wouldn't lie. And they wouldn't make any wall of sin between God and them. So they, whatever they say, they'll take the responsibility. They will speak whatever they only what they mean. Otherwise, they will just say something and make create a wall of sin between God and them, and they don't even realize that, so they don't know later. Because of that, they get a cold or flu or they get a disease, but they don't know the reason why. They just think it is just, oh, it is contagious and it is a season, it's a change of season, so they, oh, I was careless and I just got this. They just think this way. But if God protects them with His blazing eyes, you cannot get anything of that kind. And in that kind of a situation, you just you don't have any faith. You seem to be having no faith. Maybe they leave their faith somewhere. If you really believe that God the Father is watching you, would you go to a place that you should not visit and see things that you must not see just because others are coaxing you? Both Old and New Testaments, there are things that are prohibited strictly by God. Just because others are not watching you, how can you commit sins? While God is watching you, angels are watching you, they are recording everything in heaven, what are you going to do about it? Just for the pleasure, momentary pleasure right in front of your eyes? That is why in the testimony of Angelica, you hear that. They will suffer forever in the fire of hell. They will burn and they will be tortured. by the messengers of hell, and they'll be mocked and despised. More than 1,000 years. And then after the Great White Throne Judgment, they will fall into the fire of lake of fire or lake of sulfur. It has to be at least 700 degrees. And those who commit a lot of works of the flesh in the lake of sulfur, it'll be at least 700 degrees, sometimes 1,000 degrees, sometimes 6,000 degrees. Just suppose you are living in this kind of lake, not just 1 hour or 2 hours, but forever. Can you not believe this fact? Young people, can you not believe this? Is it? Can't you believe it? Did Angelica and myself talk with each other? Did I visit South America? And did I tell her to say this and that? Did I pay her to say those things, which are exactly in agreement? You know it so very well. I didn't do that. And she talked with the Lord for 23 hours. And all whatever she said is in agreement with my teaching. It proves that all my teachings are correct. And how can you commit the sins leading to death? Would you still take the flesh and follow the worldly pleasures even while the angels are watching you? If you just have a little bit of faith, you cannot do that. If you have just a little bit of conscience, you cannot do that. And it means you don't have any conscience. God is searching the depth of our hearts. And what do you have in your heart? And on what kinds of things are your thoughts focused? Are they filled with holiness, your duty, saving souls, heaven and rewards, and things to please God? Or are your minds focused on dating somebody, or thoughts of your family, your work, and worldly success, to the point that you don't have any room for the Lord? If you have this kind of attitude and heart, there's no place for the Lord to be there in their heart. You have to give all your heart to the Lord, but there is no place, no room in their heart for the Lord, because the devil is taking up all the rooms, dating somebody, greed, your family, more than God and your work, worldly success, more than God. You have to be faithful to all God's house, and it is so far away from such a thing, to the point that you don't have any room for the Lord. If you walk in the darkness, the Lord cannot walk with you. Your guardian angels cannot help you either. When the evil spirits come and give you tests and trials, they can only watch sympathetically from a distance. They stand against God and they persecute the churches, and some people who commit sins leading to death, and they have cancers now. And only then they try to cling to God, and can God answer to them? Usually they always must be communicating with God, and they must be praying all the time, they must be giving thanks, and they must be walking the light, the truth, you all the time. But I begged you with the word of God, and God is begging you with the pastors and with His word and His leader and the church leaders in the church. And only when you face something that is not, they cannot be resolved with human strength, only then you come before God. Please save me. You have been trampling on the word of God until now. You've been ignoring His word, and you've been despising God. I hope you will walk in the truth, not just in the church, but at your work, at home, and when you are walking on the streets, and when you are speaking or eating. In case of women's mission members, if their husbands are not believers, some of them say they hate me, and they don't listen to, they say, not just mommy church. It means they've been they've listened to this kind of message at least once, because their identities will be revealed. Those who are not like that, they're all here, all these men's mission members here. Even though you were like that sometime, at some point in time you changed your mind and you are leading a good life in faith. And there's no reason for them to say that the Mammy Church is not good. Or otherwise they will say, just go to Mammy Church only, because their wives are becoming better. They don't do anything evil, and they can trust their wife. Even though they are away for a business trip for months, they can still trust their wives. So where should they go? Mammin Church. These women, they don't live a luxurious life. They are decent in their managing the household, raising their children, and serving the husbands. And they pray for the children. And if these husbands know this fact just a little bit, they have no reason to stop their wife from attending church, Mammin Church. And only because they hear that, oh, they have to quit smoking and drinking, and they have to quit this and that, all the worldly things, so they don't want this. They don't like it. They want to befriend the world so much, and because of this light, their darkness is revealed. Always remember that the Lord is watching you, listening to you, and is always with you. Then you can quickly adorn yourselves as pure brides who are worthy to be the brides of the Lord. Dear devotees and other members, those who have this hope fixed on Him, thirdly, must cry out towards the Lord. They have to cry out towards the Lord. Jeremiah 29:12-13 says, "And you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." There are always conditions in the Word of God. Come and pray to me and I listen to you? No. There is another thing. Then you will call upon me. Calling upon the Lord is to cry out to Him. So if you call upon me and come and pray to me, if you pray this way, and I will listen to you, God hears the sound of our praise. And if you don't cry out, God cannot hear our prayers. God will not hear. We can also say that God will not hear your prayers. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Please don't say you pray casually and you don't receive any answer. You have to pray with all your heart. Then you will seek me and you will seek God with all your heart, and you will find Him. And if you find Him, it means you have the answer to your problem. You have heard so many times that you have to pray continually with all your heart, crying out to God. So God says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's why I sought God with all my heart. So whether in the past or now, I always pray with all my heart. So in the beginning, it took some time to be able to communicate with God. But until I went into spirit, I didn't have so much communication with God. Only when it was necessary, God explained to me some passages, or also before I went into spirit. And after I went into spirit, before I went to Holy Spirit, I still kept on praying, attending the theological college. And I had the communication with God sometimes. But after the opening of the church, I had the communication in full scale, to the full extent. Because I sought God with all my heart. And since I had this channel of communication with God, even after that, in the beginning, I had to pray like half an hour or something. I had to pray and to have deeper communication. In a deeper level, I didn't have to do that either. Before, to have communication with God, we had to purify ourselves and sing praises for some time, and we had to cry out in prayer. And we had to prepare ourselves. I had to prepare myself this way. But now, it's not so. I do right away. As soon as I kneel down before God, if I pray just for a couple of minutes, then I have the channel opens for communication, and it becomes this easy. That's why I can always have communication with God, and I can ask God, and He gives me answer. So, but just attending the prayer meetings does not mean that you pray very well. Of course, it is all your reward if you do not miss any prayer meeting. It all counts in your receiving the answers and going into New Jerusalem. You have to cry out in your prayer, thinking as if the Lord is standing right in front of you and believing that He is listening to you. If you have the earnest desire to receive the answer, you will soon be filled with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you cannot be seen. I cannot see you. Later, I find out that you had some fatigue or you had a flu and you had this and that, so you went home early. And this means you are going the opposite way. If you are sick, you have to come to the church and receive the answer, receive the healing. But if you are sick, you go home. If you are sick, you have to come to church and pray before God. But because you are sick, you go away from God and go home early. I think it's kind of mysterious. Sick people, they come to receive the prayer, come to the church. And those who are sick, we don't have the prayer center building yet, but the sick people, they have to come to the prayer center and they stay there and they pray and they receive the healings. But we don't have the space now, but here now, but so there are people who go back home and they are a little sick. I don't know what God will say to them. They have to overcome with the prayer so they can make it a habit. So if they have this wrong habit, they will always act this way. If you are sick, if you are ill, you have to have the faith that you will go before the Father and receive the healing. And this way you have to receive the answer. And just because you are a little ill, you are not well, you go home. And also, you have to find the reason why. Why you've got flu? Why you've got this fever? In your prayer, you have to find out the reason why. And if you look back on yourself, you must have a certain reason why you couldn't be protected. And you have to realize it and repent of it. And soon you will receive prayer with a handkerchief or with your own faith. You can pray and you can be well again. So you can go back home and you'll be so happy. You have to have this kind of faith. And there are people who just go home if they don't feel so well. With the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to try to make a loud voice. You will naturally cry out with a clear voice. As you pray every day, you might pray with similar contents every day. But even though you pray for the same thing 100 times, you have to pray with all your heart and with a new inspiration every time. It might seem that you are praying for the same thing 100 times, but you have to pray with all your heart and with new inspiration every time. You must not make it a meaningless repetition. If you have the pray in inspiration, you will not make meaningless repetitions. If you really cry out to the Lord, without changing, you will continually seek to fill up the measure of your prayer. Sometimes those who skip the Daniel prayer once, spiritually, it is a great loss. You might have some physical advantage. You did something else. But in spiritual sense, it is such a great loss, much greater loss than the physical advantage in going into spirit, growing up in spirit. It is a great hindrance in going into spirit. It will slow you down so much. Maybe I will have a chance to explain that principle. There are principles that have to work like that. And skipping the prayer just once, it's such a great loss. Comparing with those who never stop praying and those who stop praying, it means even though they are praying, it is same as they're staying in the same place without any improvement. They cannot go into spirit. It works like that. Like in some kind of a sport, you practice and you take a rest, and you practice and you take a rest, and you don't have so much improvement. You backslide and your skills deteriorate, and your skills will not improve so much if you just keep on practicing without any break. It's the same in everything. In studying a certain subject, you have to just keep on going. You have to keep on practicing. If you finish the beginner's level, you have to get to the intermediate level, and you have to get into the advanced level without any break. And after finishing a beginner's level, if you take a 15-day break, then 15 days will become a month. And that 15 days, if you just keep on practicing for 15 days, you will keep on improving. You take a break just for 15 days, but your loss will be like equivalent to 1 month or 2 months. So you just go back and forth. So even after 10 or 15 years, your skills remain the same. You just have new plans all the time. You just make plans all the time. In Luke chapter 18 is the parable of a widow and an unrighteous judge. The widow has a story and visits this judge every day to plea, and the judge finally fulfills her wishes. It's not because the judge was good or righteous, but it was because she was persistently coming to him that he finally had to listen to her. Luke 18 verses 7 to 8 says, "Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" What does this mean? Even the unrighteous judge, if you cling to him, if you speak to him constantly, he will answer you anyway, because he doesn't want to be bothered anymore. And our good God, if you cry out to God, will he give to us only because he doesn't want to be bothered? He will give us because we are so lovely. So what do you have to do? Just like crying to this unrighteous judge day and night, we have to cry out to God day and night. And what can he, in what thing, in what kind of answer can he not get from him? We can get answers for anything and everything. But the problem is, those elders, is because they don't receive, because they don't pray. They always attend Daniel prayer meetings, but they still don't receive the answers. They should receive great blessings. Their businesses have to be thriving. Just like as in the last verse, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" during these days. Will God find faith on the earth? It's difficult to see any faith. You might say, oh, Senior Pastor, I believe everything. I believe and pray, but I don't receive the answers. Oh, so why are you saying I don't have faith? You might say this, but suppose the kind of faith that we could have 30 or 40 years ago with this heart, if you try like you do today, 30 or 40 years ago, you could have all gone into spirit and whole spirit. If you try like this, like you do today, and if you have, suppose you try like this 30 or 40 years ago, then you must be in whole spirit by now. But why can't it work now? Everything is paralyzed. Your thoughts, because the world is so full of sins. You cannot understand the Word of God. You cannot practice the Word of God. Everything you see is sin. Everything you hear is sin and evil and untruth. So whatever you say is untruth. So you pray in that kind of situation. And you are elders and pastors. And you are stained by the world. You are stained by the worldly things. You see and hear and speak of worldly things, and you say you are praying here, and you just barely overcome each day. That is why you cannot go into spirit quickly. You might not think so, but why don't you just lay down everything and just think about it? When you live a day in your business, in your job, were your words holy? Were your words truthful? The elders, they know the truth. They always attend Daniel prayer meeting. Don't you know that what kind of words you say, what kind of thoughts you have? You can think about what kind of life you live. Were your words holy? Didn't you have conflict, arguments with others, quarrels? Did you serve others? Did you yield, conceited? Or did you seek your own benefit? Just check yourself. Check yourself for each day's life, whether you really lived in the Word of God. And you will be able to find, realize so many things. You are just cursing and you are getting angry and you are fighting along with all the unbelievers, and you are having untruthful hearts. And you come to Daniel prayer meeting and you say you are praying. So how can God listen to your prayer? How much of your prayer can God listen? Can He answer you right away? He has to say you lack so many things. You are so far away from the truth that God wants. That's why it's said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? If you really have faith, you will just do whatever you see and hear in the truth. You will see, you will hear in the truth, you will see in the truth, you will do, you will not do the things that God tells you to do and not do. And if you follow all these things, within 1 year you can go into spirit. So you have 7 months left in this year, and 7 months and 15 days. So in 7 months and 15 days, elders, you can go into spirit within 7 months and 15 days. Just try it. You can do it. And your businesses will thrive. It has to succeed. Because it's the promise of God. There are many promises of God. And as in Proverbs 16, chapter 16, even though you make your plans, it is God who guides you. So there is no worry, no possibility of failure, because God is leading you. There's nothing will go wrong. Even though you are cheated by somebody, it will finally turn out to be better for you. Maybe you can be cheated knowing that you are being cheated for the future. So God will lead you, guide you, so everything will be possible. Everything will prosper. So if you go into spirit, you'll be guaranteed by God this way. It means that when God's children cry out with faith, God the Father will quickly answer them. But it also says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? As the end draws near, it is difficult to find people who have true faith and those who cry out with faith. If you have faith, you will cry out in prayer. It is the Word of God. Our Lord, the disciples, the apostles, they all cried out in prayer. And why don't they cry out in prayer? Even myself, I was an introverted man, and I couldn't cry out before other people, so I packed up my blanket and I had breakfast early, and I went up to the top of the mountain, and because there was nobody, I just cried out to God as much as I wanted. And without even knowing that it is the will of God to cry out in prayer, because God, the Holy Spirit, urged me, I just did it. That was when I was a new believer. Because I was shy. So if they have faith, they will cry out in prayer. You don't have any pride or anything like that. Oh, I have this kind of position in the society, back in the world, and how can I cry out in prayer like this before so many people? This is a fleshly thought, a man's thought. Who likes this kind of thought? It is the enemy, devil, and Satan that stand against God. God says, as the Bible says, God is delighted with our deeds of faith. It is the command of God. And there are also spiritual meanings. If you are drowning, how loudly would you cry for help? And if you just lose your wallet, if you lose your handbag, you cry out for help. Oh, catch that thief! They were crying out so loudly just to get their handbags back. In the same sense, in this sin-filled world, going towards the end, how earnestly do you think you should be crying out to keep yourself from worldly things and to cast off sins and evil? You cannot just pray with lip service when you ask God to enable you to cast away sins like hatred, envy, desires, adulterous mind, and anger. These sinful natures have been combined with your body throughout your lives. To cast off these fleshly attributes, you have to pray so fervently and earnestly. In the testimony of Angelica, when her spirit was leaving the body, I explained to you. You heard as I explained to you. It happened as I explained to you before. The division of the spirit. God explained to me how you can divide your spirit, how you can divide a spirit and soul. What happens when spirit and soul are divided from the body? And in the testimony, it is just as God explained to me before. So I was so thrilled, so happy. God had given it to me long ago, so I asked them to print it out for me, and it's the same. It agrees with each other, so I was very happy. So even for the spirit to leave the body, it's not done easily. Spirit and soul, it's not easy for the spirit and soul to be divided. So it takes more effort. And when it comes in, it also takes more effort. The energy is lost. But anyway, for such a long time, if you're 20 years old, these fleshly attributes, these things were combined with your body for 20 years. If you're 60 years old, these sinful natures are combined with your body for 60 years, and it's not so easy. That is why to cast off these fleshly attributes, you have to pray so fervently and earnestly. That is why you have to cry out in prayer. You have to pray with earnestness, just like Elijah, who brought down fire from heaven. If you pray that earnestly, then that earnestness will remain in your heart even after the prayer in your daily lives. So your heart and deeds will actually change, and sins and evil will be cast out from you. Not just the devotees of Young Adults Mission, but I hope the pastors, elders, and all other members will take your prayers. You know very well that Jesus prayed until his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. And how do you pray? Even though you cannot make your sweat like drops of blood, do you cry out until you sweat with a truthful heart? Only those who cry out with all their heart can be said to have the true faith that acknowledges the Lord, and only these ones can walk with the Lord. They are the ones who have true hope for heaven. Let me conclude the message. Dear devotees and other members, those who have the hope to receive the Lord who is coming again, first of all, purify themselves. In order to do that, you must have truth cultivated in you completely, and you have to practice what you hear and understand. Secondly, you have to walk with the Lord. It means you have to make your thoughts, words, and deeds perfect, sensing the eyes of the Lord all the time. Thirdly, you have to cry out in your prayers. Those who have this hope fixed on the Lord will truthfully and earnestly cry out. Their heart and deeds will be purified through their prayers, in which they cry out with all their heart. Leave behind all the times during which you did not live in the truth and you did not purify yourselves. From now on, I hope you will change yourselves with a freshly renewed mind of a person who is born again and quickly become the person God wants you to be. Then you will realize in yourself that how happy a thing it is to cast off evil from your heart and replace it with the truth, and to make yourself obedient to fulfill the will of God. To the extent that you cultivate the kind of heart that God wants, you will have a true life, peace, joy, and happiness from above. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will look up to heaven in this happiness and enjoy and advance into the better heavenly dwelling places every day. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become faith and life. Father, bless them. Bless them, touch them. Those who have the hope fixed on Him will purify themselves, and they will walk with the Lord all the time, and they will cry out in their prayers with all their heart. I explain how we can receive the answers. Father, thank you. Let the young adults keep this message in their heart and let them practice it. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities. Father, thank you. Lay your hands on them and show your works transcending space and time. Father, Santa Oli from Hong Kong, give him the residential permit in Hong Kong. Peter Roth, be freed from the power of darkness and let him obey. Sun So in heart, blood pressure go away. Yang Yong Nan, pain from back and legs go away. Fan Se Wei, let her daughter and son-in-law not be laid off from the company. Hu Shou Wen, Chen Lin Sung, let them accomplish cultivate spirit. Give them blessings. Father, thank you. Give them spiritual and physical health. In the change of season, drive away all the cold. All cold and coughing and fever and sore throat, all go away. Protect their vocal cords. Father, give them clear voice. Let the tiredness go away. Let the pains go away. Father, give them spiritual and physical health. Light come. Father, protect them. Give them peace throughout this week. They had this young adults devotional service. Let them offer up to God their youth and become pleasing children of God. Let them keep the message in their heart. Let them practice it. And let them give glory to God by receiving the answer to their prayers. Father, let them quickly, bless them quickly as they have sown and acted. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.